Hello and welcome to edition 201, back to normal, of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is sports journalist Michael Bailey, and in this podcast, we are going to preview the 2017 Malaysian Grand Prix, round 15 of the season, with just five more to go after Sepang. In this pod, will Ferrari be fired up or fall flat? Can Red Bull repeat? And is Jolyon going to stay in his Renault for fear that no one would let him back in if he gets out? We're at the Rushcutters Public House here in Norwich, and joining us for the pod fun once again are Carl Cumbers, Steve Rust and David Powell. I didn't actually mention in the last pod that we were at the Rushcutters for our 200th edition. That's a bit bad form, isn't it? This is a staple of the NRF1 experience, isn't it, Steve?
Is it?
Yes, coming to the pub.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant like as in not mentioning where we are.
Oh no.
Oh right.
No, as in being at the pub.
It's quite a regular thing now.
I mean, this is kind of similar to when last week you said you could come to the podcast and then you didn't.
Mentioned. Yeah.
What's the story?
I'm sure I was here in spirit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Steve said I can come. See you there. Well, no, he didn't say see you there, but I can come. Sounds like the championship's going to be juicy. So we waited here. And then you text me later on saying, I said I can come. And I said, yes. Yeah.
Well, I text you and said I couldn't.
No, you did said you could come. Well, and then I said, I'm really confused. And then I had to point out that both messages actually said can when you meant to say can't.
I thought it was
can't.
Just the one on WhatsApp.
No, it's both. Oh, have you literally only...
Yeah.
Well, I think that would be an easy get out. But that's okay. Steve is fine because, you know, we would never want you not to be here. Is that what... That is a double negative, but that's fine. I think that works. So, you know, it's fine. We've also been forgiven. I bought you a drink. You know, you're still checking it, Carl.
No, it actually says on my message... There you go.
No, the first one.
No, that one there.
The one above, you said, I can make it tonight. The one where I said, where are you? We're here, we're getting on. And you said, I said, I can come tonight.
No wonder you're even more confused.
Yeah,
that makes
confused.
A lot of sense. All right, well.
Anyway, I hope we're all well. Getting cold. Good. Dave, you're outside in a T-shirt.
No, I'm fine. No, it's quite wild tonight, actually.
Beautiful September night at the Rushcutters Public House in Thorpe St Andrew, for anyone who wants to pop along. Before we get stuck in, this is part two of our three pods in 3 days. Our F1 latest news pod was our 200th edition at the Rushcutters, and it's available to listen to on your podcast player of choice, along with all our previous 199 editions. Just visit nrf1.uk/pod subscribe to find your link. And if the link for your player is missing or not there, let us know. Send us an email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Malaysia then, the championship battle. Is Seb still going to be muttering over what happened in Singapore, Carl?
I think he'll try and move on swiftly and not really talk about it and just be concentrating ahead, because I think he'd realize, he must know that it was his fault.
Well, we had quite a debate, and I think it was me and Callum, wasn't it? But and Callum was like, what else was he supposed to do? And there was an element of that, but I kind of was convinced he should have given as much room as possible, and it didn't feel like he did that.
I can see, because they all do it. They all go across at the start. I mean, Hamilton and Vettel probably ones on pole this year. They all go across to try and block off second. But it was just in them conditions, it was probably a risk that wasn't worth taking.
Was that for Hamilton not finishing very well in qualifying, because he would have been caught up in that.
Absolutely nuts. So lucky, and so unfortunate for Fernando Alonso as well. He got completely taken out after such a brilliant start. But I mean, Seb's normally pretty good at moving on quite quickly, isn't he, Steve?
Yes, he is. I mean, I don't think he really want to talk about it very much. I think he'll be quite sort of quiet about it, and we'll be focusing on this weekend in front of the cameras. So, yeah, I don't think he'll mention it too much.
Big miss, though, wasn't it? That was his track.
Do you think that it was his track, and it was such a big win that then Lewis was able to win?
That they race on this year, that was his track.
Let's give Sebastian Vettel a percentage chance of becoming driver's world champion by the end of the season.
35%.
I thought you'd go less than that, actually. I'm going to say 25%.
I think he's got a 50-50 chance between him and Hamilton. I think it's still very, very close. I think there's probably three circuits that will favour Ferrari, and the other three will favour Mercedes. So I think it's still very 50-50, despite the 28 points difference.
35% is nearly 50, not quite 25.
Hedging him, sitting on the fence. That's what you're doing,
no,
David.
No, I just think that there's tracks. I think it will be down at the pit crews getting and also the technicians getting the tyres right for them next races, because they are going to shred.
It's going to be a really busy time over these next few weeks. Absolutely. It's going to be a chocker. Worth pointing out that in edition 199, Callum said the championship was over. That was his direct, so he's already called it. Not to say that Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel aren't completely different characters, but they are completely different characters. Don't know what Seb did after Singapore. I imagine he went home and had a quiet few weeks or two. Yeah, I don't think I saw him in anything. Carl, did you see Sebastian Vettel do anything?
No, I imagine he spent time at home with his family. Not at fashion shows.
That's exactly my point. Lewis Hamilton, he kept himself busy by becoming a sort of fashion icon in Milan, as you do. Pouting. There's a lot of pouting going on his Instagram.
It's a bit different when you're leading a championship and when you're potentially looking to catch the leader.
Do you think if it had only been a...
psyched up and he's so excited about what's going on with his car and everything else, Vettel's got more things to worry about, hasn't he?
Do you think if it had only been a 10-point gap, he wouldn't have gone to Milan?
I don't think he would have done.
I love that. He's a funny one, isn't he, Lewis Hamilton?
It's just that he's got that advantage now where technically he doesn't have to win now, technically, I don't think, every race, has he?
I think it's very close.
He can finish second nearly every time. Am I right?
No.
Points between finish second to first. So seven times six for no.
But four races, I mean...
one more win and then seconds all the way through, we'll get him there. Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it sort of depends on where Vettel finishes, etc. But yeah.
So his team will set himself up to do that. I'm pretty sure that the team will not want him to do anything stupid.
That the interesting point, because I brought that up in how much his mindset maybe changes from here. It is a good track for Ferrari, Malaysia. They are the most successful constructors there by a mile. They're the only team with seven wins. How many were Schumacher? Yeah, good point. So since 1999, Mercedes, they haven't been around, obviously, for many of those years, and Lewis, they've only won once.
I saw that stat today. I was quite surprised. He's only won once. That, what, 2 years ago?
Was 2014. So, yeah, three years ago. And last year's race, has anyone looked into last year's race? If I was to say lap 40... does that mean anything to anyone?
Boom.
Yes. Yeah. The end of his title challenge in a way.
Yeah. His engine blew, Lewis Hamilton, whilst he was leading the race. And that was it, basically.
No. Radio calls.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. No. Love Lewis on the radio. Can you... well, you probably then know this, Kyle. So I'll see if the others do. Anyone recite last year's podium at the Malaysian Grand Prix?
Well, Red Bull went on to win the race, didn't they? So was it with... Ricardo won the race, didn't he? And then I presume Rosberg must have been on there somewhere, but...
great work, Steve. It was indeed. Kyle, do you want to do the honours?
Verstappen second, Rosberg third, after getting smashed by Vettel in the first corner.
He recovered from that first lap spin to pick up third, Nico Rosberg, and make the most of poor Lewis's engine. A cracking race, and, you know, kind of underlines the fact that actually we've had some pretty good races at Malaysia. I quite like this track.
Yes, yeah, sort of with the weather conditions and the layout. It's just a good, fast-flowing track. You can overtake. It's hard on tyres. It's a shame it's the last ever one.
Oh, God, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the last of a Malaysian Grand Prix. Well,
for sake.
Never.
What?
For a while, anyway.
I mean, this is something that's actually... this isn't the FIA mucking it up, is it? This is... well, I suppose they have indirectly, but this is Malaysia going, we don't need it.
Yeah, pretty much. MotoGP sells a lot more tickets than there, and I think they're going in a couple of weeks' time. So Malaysia didn't see the benefits of hosting a Grand Prix anymore.
Doesn't that show the work that Liberty has still got to do in making Formula One more popular?
It does,
if
indeed.
MotoGP outdoes it at Malaysia.
Spot on. And actually, a couple of weeks when we were looking through the news, there was a lot of talk of Liberty. All these places want a Formula One race. We're in such rude health. We've got lots of people who want to be a part of this. So they obviously feel like, you know, they've got places to go and people to see. But likewise, if you've got a cracking race and a cracking track that you can actually race around, it's a shame that you then can't go there and do it.
There, can you?
I don't know. To be honest, I've never been to Malaysia. I don't know. Tony Fernandez will know. Well, we'll always have Multi 21 and 2013, what a race that was. And if you go and check out the NRF1 YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube, you'll be able to see one of our past karting exploits, which was inspired by the Multi 21 Red Bull shenanigans. Only six races left in the season, as I kind of mentioned earlier. Two of them are back-to-backs, and this is one of them. And it's this and Japan, isn't it? So that basically means if you're f***ing up, either you get a race coming along really quickly to sort it out, but actually, in terms of how Formula One tends to work, you're kind of screwed for the next race as well, really.
Yeah, I mean, you've got sort of teams that have got upgrades coming along and things like that. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't got them done in time, you know, then with back-to-back races...
They're both races, aren't they?
On the flyaways, far away, it ain't going to happen, is it, you know?
Your car's set up for both races, so they ain't going to have time to change the car settings for the next weekend, because literally they are up and running Monday morning straight across to Japan. They ain't got no time to change the car settings, have they? Not really.
Turn it around really, really quickly. Lots of chatter from Red Bull. I mean, following up from how well Red Bull did at the race last year, all being owing a little bit of it to Lewis Hamilton. A bit of chatter again, Red Bull wanting to follow up Singapore with another good result. At a race they could win? No, I mean, can they? Carl, this is different, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the bigger chance, obviously, at Singapore.
Just to two.
They were. I was just trying to look last year, and they were the second quickest cars in qualifying last year. So maybe there is something there. If it is hard on tyres, if they can look after the tyres, they may have a chance. But you kind of think it's between Mercedes and Ferrari and. They'll pick up any scraps, if there is any.
Which, given what happened to Ferrari last time out, is entirely possible. How much are Ferrari going to need to show up here? Because their race ended by the first... Well, it didn't even get to the first corner, effectively. Well, Sebastian did, I suppose, before he went spinning and what have you, but they certainly didn't complete a lap.
Engine problems, was there? So it's a case of just putting the car back together again.
They're going to be pretty focused on getting a decent result this time.
Both Ferrari boys have got to make sure that they try and split Bottas and Hamilton, and that's going to be the key thing. They've got to split Bottas, because Bottas's job now is just to protect Hamilton. And we know that, and that is something that's critical to that team. If Bottas can split them two Ferraris, then Hamilton's got the opportunity with the pace that he has got in the car to be able to get away, because I think Ferraris are going to be slightly quicker at this track, maybe.
I really don't know.
That's, in my that's opinion, bit. I would say it would favour Mercedes just slightly.
Yeah?
Yeah, this track, slightly.
Mm. It's always interesting, isn't it? Because Ferrari just seem to have the better of it at this track, generally. There are times when it'd be the only place they'd show up really quick, wouldn't it?
Was it 2015 when they won, Vettel won? Was it the start of the season? And then sort of Mercedes tyres went off and we thought, oh, there's actually a battle this year. And then they disappeared for the rest of the year. Was that 15?
To be honest, I'm not sure. But it sounds right. But there were also a couple of years when Fernando Alonso, I think he would have won it, but for his front wing coming off and then not opting to pit it a lap earlier and stuff like that. They've always looked pretty quick around this track, generally. So,
Bottas comes into it to slow them down.
Big time for Valtteri, who, of course, is... He's got his new shiny contract, hasn't he? So he'll be bubbling along, all happy. What we should also mention, Jolyon Palmer still has his Renault seat. Still? Yeah, just about? He hasn't been booted out yet?
I think obviously negotiating with his contract was pretty good and pretty tight. I don't know if his dad possibly helped along with that, but they can't get him out of the contract, it sounds like.
I mean, it is quite hilarious that everyone is trying to get him out of that seat as quickly as possible.
Apparently he's offered a decent amount of money to leave, which I mean, fair dues for him to sticking around to prove.
Yeah,
you know, if he leaves, that's definitely the end of his Formula One career. I mean, if he has a good end of the season, he may have a tiny chance of staying on. But you know, stay on, whatever if the team want you out. But just say,
and he's got it. Then why leave? They signed it. They wanted him to have him to stick it. It's no different to football, is it?
And good for him, because we've given him a we're giving him a bit of stick, but ultimately I think there's a bit of affection for Jolyon there. So I good for him. I hope he really shows him up. Shows up Nico Hülkenberg for the rest of the season. It probably won't be that hard. So away
he
goes.
He's not a terrible driver, is he? He's not the worst driver in the world.
And he's had a car for a lot of the year. So it's not been entirely his fault. Okay, well, we like to ask this, don't we? Most important weekend for... We may have covered it already, but we may not have done. Steve, what do you reckon? Most important weekend for?
The obvious one would be Ferrari, wouldn't it? But you could bring Palmer into that, as we were just talking about it. You know, maybe Red Bull again, you know, pulled off, thanks to other incidents, still pulled off a good weekend last week, or the couple of weeks ago, shall I say. I'd say multiple.
Ferrari, for me, they've just come off the back of their worst Grand Prix in their history. had both cars not complete the first lap. Never mind, not the first corner. Ridiculous.
Might be an interesting weekend for Red Bull, actually, now with this Aston Martin deal coming in. You know, there might be the starts of, we've better shake our ass about a little bit. I don't know.
Sure, wiggle.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know.
Obviously, Ferrari's the obvious one. So I'm going to give somebody... Felipe Massa, if he really wants to drive next year, he needs to put a few performances in.
Well, is he actually behind Lance in the
just ahead, 3 points ahead, which isn't. Well, I mean, obviously Stroll had that really good result in Baku, which is a hell of a lot of points in one go. But you kind of think that if there was decent drivers in that car, they would be closer to Force India. And yeah, I think if he's got any hope of staying in that car, he needs. Have a good few Grand Prix.
What I would say is that Lance Stroll has outscored Felipe Massa in two of the three races since the summer break. So there we go. Maybe he's getting the hang of it. Momentum shift. Says the man who's obviously predicted Lance Stroll to finish ahead of Massa in the Drivers' Championship. So there we go. Right, we're done, I think. That is Malaysia all previewed, I think. Looking forward to it. Yeah. It's going to be thick and fast from here as well. As I say, it'll be Japan the following weekend too, so plenty of Formula 1 to get.
What time does it start?
Is it any morning. Afternoon? Oh, is it morning? No, it's a morning one, isn't it?
9 in the morning, I think. Yeah, UK time.
So make sure you set your alarm clocks. Yep.
Oh, I should be there, don't worry.
You're going to be there?
Well, I won't be there. I wish I was there, but then no, I should definitely be on the button watching that.
Who watches how? Sky? Is it Sky or BBC, Steve?
Channel 4.
Get it right, Michael. And live or highlights?
I usually watch Sky. I don't know. Depends. If I get too drunk Saturday night, that'll be probably pre-recorded.
Fair enough.
Maybe live.
I don't know if this one's live on Channel 4, actually. Probably not, as it's a morning one.
No, I think they had the last one as well, didn't they?
You would have thought it would be live on Channel 4 as it's a morning one, because what else are they going to put on?
Sunday Kitchen? Is that a programme, Sunday Kitchen?
A certain amount of Fraser and Everyone Loves Raymond you can put on in there on a Sunday morning.
Every Sunday.
Fraser. No, Everyone Loves Raymond is far better.
Okay. All right. So,
however, I should be watching it on Sky.
On Sky?
Sky, yeah.
Sky. Okay. Live on.
I should be able to watch it live on Sunday.
It depends if I get up or not, and various other things. But you know, we'll see. Anyway, excellent. We're all going to watch the race, some one way or the other, and we'll all then talk about it afterwards. Let's do some plugs, shall we? Social media channels: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at the NRF1 to get hold of us. We'll have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, and sign up over the remainder of the season at our website nrf1.uk. Blogs, betting tips, and more. Kyle, you're going to do some. Ah, yes, now there isn't a slight apology here. Yes, I was so out of practice that the betting tips may not have quite managed to go up before the race. I'm very sorry.
Anyway.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, so I did you a favour?
In a way, yeah.
Oh, I am sorry.
Verstappen podium, which obviously disappeared very quickly.
Yes.
So, and Ricciardo pole, which was quite close.
Yeah.
For a little 9-1, though. That was pretty good. And then Ocon top six, which never looked like happening.
No. Okay, so inadvertently I did everyone a favour, but I am sorry because I was bad form. So do you reckon you will do something this time?
Hopefully, right? Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'll make sure they get a proper plugging up. So get them right this time. So that's all good. And Callum's race review is on the website as well, so check that out, nrf1.uk. And please get in touch with us. As you'll have noticed in our episode 200, we love reading your emails. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. On its way is the Prediction League latest. Make sure you have a listen to that. It's on its way very soon. And as I said, if you get a few minutes, check out our YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. And you can see our take on Multi 21 from Malaysia back in 2013. All right, that's goodbye then. Goodbye, David.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Cheerio.
Goodbye, Steve.
Goodbye.
I'll say goodbye. Goodbye. by. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The third of our three pods in 3 days will be with you next as we predict all the Sepang bangs. Until then, goodbye.